Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Andy McCarthy, National Review, former Justice Department guru of the Supreme Court, is with us on the Spring Dance Hot Tubs Hotline. I'm amazed that we can get you on at this point.
Dom, I'm amazed that you noticed I was on that couch.
Oh, I actually have the whole outfit. I was a nice green and the green tie. I thought it was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, well, I did feel the luck of the Irish that day. That is for
oh,
sure.
Boy. Well, it was brilliant stuff. Before we talk about Kavanaugh, I want to talk about what's going on with Strzok. And we haven't talked with you in a little bit about this, that the defense being offered here to blunt everything, and he's just continually saying it this morning, Andy, is ongoing investigation. 200 times I told you in private conversations, can't answer this, can't answer that, can't answer the time of day. What is the recourse for the Republicans on the committee to that argument?
If you can't hold people in contempt, Dom, it's not a serious proceeding. So either you hold people in contempt for refusing to answer questions and refusing to produce documents, or you're running a kangaroo court. So
right.
That's their choice.
And why won't they do that? What are they afraid of? I mean, I'm looking at some of the people on the committee and all that. I mean, Trey Gowdy, posture, tough prosecutor. Goodlatte seems to be that. Why wouldn't they at this point be going for contempt?
Because they would need to get a majority vote of the House of Representatives to hold somebody in contempt. They'd have to vote it out of the committee, and then they'd have to get support of the whole House. And I'm not certain that the broad Republican position here is that this is the best way to go about dealing with the misconduct of the FBI. So they may, and the Justice Department. So they may well feel that they're not going to get the backing, which, to my mind, after many long years and some bruising litigations, one thing I did learn was that if you're going to draw a line in the sand, you better defend it.
All right, well, let me parse you with that, both your legal hat and your political hat here. Nobody else has said that to me. Why would Republicans, though? Is it that politically they calculate that will look bad to hold them in contempt, or is it they differ? Because I don't see any other grand remedy out there, and what I'm afraid of is that Trump gets itchy here. You know, the whole sequence starts. He went after Sessions again yesterday. If he can remain in the mode that we're in now, Andy, it seems to me the American public are seeing this, and you would think there's still a reservoir of people that realize the awesome power of the FBI, and they're afraid if that is set out on any citizen, you know, the repercussions are huge.
Well, I think, Dom, that you really, in your remarks right before I came on, hit on what the problem is, which is the Democrats started today, and both Congressman Nadler and Congressman Cummings, the two ranking members of the joint committee that are doing this hearing, they started out with the theme that what the Republicans are really trying to do here under the guise of oversight of the FBI and the Justice Department is interfere with the Mueller investigation and try to conduct discovery of it. And I believe that there are a lot of Republicans who are concerned that that theme is going to have some traction, and that if they hold these people in contempt for not providing information that is relevant to Mueller's investigation, the Democrats will respond that, see, they're trying to derail Mueller's investigation and delegitimize it, et cetera, and they don't want to have that fight. But I hate to break this to them, but if you are not prepared to hold people in contempt, it's not a serious
yes.
proceeding.
Right. Why should they comply? Why should they answer? Why should they do any of this? They're at risk if they do, and if they're not going to be held in contempt, they can skate on this.
Right. So what I think the Republicans have decided is we'll make a lot of noise about possibly holding people in contempt. We won't actually do it. And we'll use this TV opportunity we have to show that these guys won't answer questions, which, you know, maybe some people will be entertained by that. I find it a dog and pony show. I really was. I'm one of these people who'd like to find out what happened.
Yes. Well, Andy, thanks for that. But that really unraveled it for me because, you know, the Republicans never surprised me that they think that the American public. I just think when you have something this clear, these text messages, and you have some of the other people like McCabe and all that, I think you got the wind at your back on this. And if you don't do this, and if you're face down on this, then you're going to face down on a lot of things where you need to step up.
Yeah, I don't think there's any excuse for this, Don, because it's within the last 2 weeks that this guy, Strzok, gave them a behind-closed-doors interview, at which apparently some 200 times or so he refused to answer questions.
Right.
Now, if they haven't changed the rules of the road between the last time they talked to him and today, why would they think it would be any different?
So,
my mind, if you know that's what he's going to do, why do you give him an opportunity to do that? Because here's the state of play. He goes in, he tells his side of the story in the sense that he answers only the questions that he wishes to answer.
Right.
And makes himself effectively non-cross-examinable about the things he doesn't want to discuss. How could it get better for him?
Yeah, it's faulty on both the legitimacy of trying to get to the truth and politically it's faulty. Both are at fault here. Now, let's talk about Kavanaugh. I'm not sure how much Kavanaugh knowledge you have. Did he ever invite you to a Nationals game with that $200,000 in debt that he had?
Well, you know, I'm not going to hold that against him, even as a Mets fan who, like your team, his team is beating my team's brains out all the time. So if he wants to go on ahead and subsidize Bryce Harper's salary that way, who am I to judge? But I think he's actually a really stellar jurist who will be a superb addition to the Supreme Court. I'm delighted by the choice.
Now, what about Rick Santorum was on, and maybe this is, you know, the most confirmable guy, making the argument, Andy, that we have too many people on this pipeline their entire life, Yale, Harvard, Georgetown Prep. I'm not holding against the guy, but it was a good argument by him that Gorsuch and he were there at the same time or roughly the same time. You know, we're getting all the same type of people on the court. Is there anything to that argument?
I really don't think so. I'm surprised to hear it from conservatives because it seems like it's the flip side of the left's argument that, you know, we don't have enough, haven't checked enough ethnic boxes, we haven't checked enough racial boxes. You know, now would they have been happier that Amy Barrett from Notre Dame got on because she was at Notre Dame? My attitude about it is I want the best legal craftsmen on the Supreme Court. And if they all happen to be to come from the best educated schools, I'm not one of these people who thinks that we need judges to empathize and to be able to walk a mile in the shoes of the litigants who appear before them. I want people who are going to apply the law. And as a result, I don't really care about what school the judge went to any more than I care about what school the conductor on my train went to this morning, provided that he's competent at his job.
Okay. Well, let me move to the final area, Andy, for you, too. Tell listeners what it would be like. For you, it's like gospel to me to take apart Roe v. Wade, which I think has no shot of it ever being completely illegal in America or anything else. I could see, partial birth abortion or late-term abortion. I could see an issue there. Maybe some states would outlaw abortion. There would be a big fight over it, but the majority of states will keep it. What do you see as far as Roe v. Wade and how we're at DEFCON 20 at this point this morning about what would happen with it?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that, Don, because I think this may be the most uninformed, important question about the judicial confirmation. I think, first of all, what people don't recognize, even though by now we should, is the only time Roe versus Wade ever seems to come up as an important issue is when a Republican has a Supreme Court slot to fill. And what people seem to have missed is that Roe v. Wade, which was decided 45 years ago, was substantially overhauled 19 years later in a case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey from your
yes.
governor right in Pennsylvania at the time, who took the case to the Supreme Court. And what that case did, importantly, is while it upheld Roe and refused to overrule it, it gutted Roe's trimester construct, and it made it very clear that states are at liberty to have pro-life policies. So what that did was make abortions much easier to regulate. Now, you're quite right. They're not going away. And even if Roe disappeared, they wouldn't be going away because it would just return the issue to the states. It wouldn't make abortion illegal. But for the last 26 years or so, the litigation about abortion has been about the validity of various regulations.
Right.
Not about whether the core holding of Roe should be reversed. And I don't see how that changes. I think that, you know, just to take a quick example, if some state were to try to ban abortion outright, a federal district judge in that state would, applying Roe, would say that's unconstitutional, you can't do that. They would throw out the law. The Court of Appeals would affirm the district judge, and the Supreme Court would refuse to hear the case. So I don't see how the issue of Roe's constitutionality tees up before the Supreme Court unless somebody in a very activist way reaches out to try to do that, and I just don't see it happening.
That is great insight. And you get me the homework assignment. Go back and read Planned Parenthood versus Casey. But it's also exactly where I think, and the polling indicates the country is, as I said, about after 20 weeks or late-term abortions, whatever you want to call. I think the consensus there would rein that in, but I don't think the consensus is to get rid of Roe v. Wade. It's the country.
Yeah. Tom, there's one other important point about that. While the Roe decision at the time in 1973 when it was decided was kind of the top of the mountain in this whole stream of what we call substantive due process jurisprudence, it's now part of a much larger body of law which takes in all kinds of other rights that they've added onto it, most recently gay marriage, right?
Right.
So if the Supreme Court were to reach out and try to overrule Roe, what it would be seen as is not just trying to overrule Roe, but overrule that whole line of jurisprudence. And I do not see this court going there.
Andy?
I think what you'll see is a lot of tailoring back
right.
of that line of jurisprudence, but you're not going to see them reverse it.
When are you on the couch again, or when are you on Fox again?
If there were a shrink in town, I'd be on the couch today.
Okay.
If I have to watch this Strzok hearing all day, but I've been on Fox a lot more often, so I imagine I'll be back in the next.
Good. Glad to see it. I'll be watching the suits and the ties.
Thanks.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.